This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
St. John's, 89. UConn Huskies, 75 at Madison Square Garden today. The Red Storm, the number 10 ranked team in the country, but with others losing, they could climb. One of the best stories in sports right now, what Rick Pitino has done in his second year is incredible. To talk about the Johnnies, we bring in Zach Braziller from the New York Post, covers college sports. Hey, Zach, how are you?
What's up, Lori? How are you?
I'm doing well, Zach. All right, so St. John's over UConn today at MSG, ranked in the top 10. The Garden is rocking and loud. They're getting close to that first Big East title since regular season title since 1985. Help me and put into words the job Rick Pitino has done in only year two.
Let's start with this. They already have in February their most wins in a season since 1999-2000. They've already equaled their most Big East wins ever, which was set in 84-85 with 15. They're going to be their highest seed since that 99-2000 season when they were a two seed. You know, they're basically making history every game right now. I mean, 24-4, 15-2. It's kind of like a St. John's fans fever dream the way this year is going, really. I mean, I thought they'd be good this year. I thought they'd be a tournament team, but I don't think anyone could have expected this.
Do you think even Rick Pitino himself, he's one of the all-time greatest coaches in basketball history, in college basketball history. He had a vision and a dream for how this could go. Did even Rick Pitino think this team had this kind of upside?
I know he thought privately they had a chance to be pretty good, but I don't think he thought this. You know, his second years, if you go, you know, you can go back to Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, even Iona. His second year, his team's always taken a jump. And look, last year's team was pretty good by the end of March. They didn't have the resume, but they really hit their stride late, and they were a good team. But I mean, they're one of the best teams in the country this year. I don't think there's any question, and they're getting better. Like they're now starting to hit some threes. The offense has really taken a leap with Davon Smith being healthy. He was basically, you know, out for the better part of a month. Now he's himself, and you know that's the thing. Last year's team took a really big leap at this time last year, and now you're starting to see that with this team on the offensive end. And like I said, if they're going to start making threes, I mean, and look out, because that's been their one, you know, Achilles heel, is they're not a good shooting team. And now the last two games, they've shot over 40% from three. So that's, to me, if you're a St. John's fan, that's the thing you're most excited with, is they're actually getting better right now.
Yeah, defense has been the calling card, the constant all season long. Today, 8 of 19, 42% from three, as you're saying. And so what, I know you've had the opportunity to interview Patino, you know, you've been around this team, around Patino, but also had the opportunity to do some one-on-ones and interview him. What makes Rick Pitino so special or different from other coaches that you've covered?
You know, one thing, his teams have always done it, and this team does it. They play just so hard. And the impressive thing is they've done it all year. Like, they've done it against in games they're supposed to win. They've done it, obviously, in the big games, but the maturity where, like, they haven't let winning go to their head. And, you know, for a program like St. John's that hasn't had a lot of success, you know, you even go to their good years, you know, which were a few and far between, they would lose games they're supposed to win, and this team doesn't do that. You know, their four losses are a combined 7 points, and three of them are the teams that are probably going to make the tournament, Baylor, Georgia, and Creighton. But yeah, it's the attention to detail. He demands so much. They do the player development sessions in addition to, you know, practices. You know, he expects a lot of these guys, and because of his vast resume, they trust him and they believe in him, and you know, they just play so hard all the time. And when you mix that in with really good talent and athleticism, that's kind of what we're seeing here.
Who on this team of these players have you seen demonstrate the most improvement this year from start of the year to now? Who has taken the biggest leap in your mind?
I mean, this the big man Zuvi Ejiofor. He was their backup center last year, and you know, they did look at some centers in the portal. They brought in a big kid from USC, Vince Iluchukwu, who's their backup, and there was some question in the offseason, you know, if it would be Zuvi as the starter or Vince. And I mean, Zuby's probably going to be the most improved player in the Big East. Mm-hmm. He's second in the country in offensive rebounds per game. You know, he's kind of the rare, he's a big guy who can, you know, defend on the perimeter. So like, that's the thing what makes them so good defensively is they switch everything and they can do it. Where last year they kind of struggled at times when their big guys had to switch out. But Hurley talked about it today. It's like, there are no mismatches with St. John. Like, you can get a guard on their big guys, and it's not a mismatch. And very few teams can do that.
Yeah, you mentioned get a guard and a big guy. But I look at the size of a Kadari Richmond. And, right. Like, he might be a guard, but what is he, 6'6"? And he's a big 6'6". So, you know, on the one hand, they're a little small as a team, but matchup to matchup, to your point, they sort of match up well. But how you mentioned in terms of the highest seed for St. John's and, you know, in years, and I know the brackets had come out recently and they were a four seed, but you look at the wins that they've had and the momentum that they have, and, you know, over the last few days, some of these top 10 teams that are losing. And I understand the Big East is not as impressive a league as the SEC and some of these other conferences, but how high do you think St. John's can get in terms of seeding?
I think realistically is a three. Okay. If they win out, could they get, you know, could they have three regular season games left in the Big East tournament? Let's say they, you know, win their final six.
Yep.
Three in the Big East tournament. Can they get to a two? Maybe. The problem is you're going to be going up against SEC schools and Big 12 schools where they just have they have better resumes. And even if St. John's won out, mm-hmm. I don't know if they can get as high as a two. But I do think a three is possible. I think even if they lost one more game, they have a chance at a three. The fact that the committee included them in their top four reveal mm-hmm. was kind of noteworthy. And now since that, they beat Creighton,
yep.
Beat UConn handily, obviously won at DePaul, which isn't necessarily noteworthy. But, yeah, I think they have a legit shot as a three. And, look, your two or three is kind of a marginal difference. You know, that you'd love to be, you know, outside, you'd love to not have to potentially play a number one seed in the Sweet 16. So you get a three seed, and that kind of makes things easier. Yeah, but look, There's no reason to think they can't win out. The one real tough one is at Marquette, but Marquette has been struggling. St. John beat them head to head, and look, win out, and I think they're a three seed, no question. Could they? You know, you never say never. Could they climb to a two? My gut is probably not, but I think a three probably right now is the goal. I think a four is probably a worst case, but a three is not out of the question.
Mm-hmm. Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Yeah, I think they're trending towards a three. Yeah, and I was saying before, they'd have to win the Big East tournament and have all of that to have things break their way for a two. But a three looks like a possibility for sure. I know when you talk to Patino, well, at least from afar, as you watch him and some of the quotes, he seems to be having so much fun coaching this team. You interviewed him this week. How much fun is he having, and what's your sense of how long this ride with Rick Pitino could go?
Yeah, like you hear like people ask, well, what if a big school, you know, a big job opens? There was, you know, his name was kind of floated for Indiana. I don't think he's going to coach anywhere else but St. John's. I really don't. He's a New York guy. He loves it here. He has a house on, you know, Wingfoot. He's a huge golfer, tons of friends and family. His son Ryan is at every game. His other son Richard, the coach in New Mexico, really pushed him to take this job because he thought it was like a perfect hat to his career. And, you know, you really never know what's going to happen with him. We all know that. But, you know, he said he had that, you know, year and a half, 2 years after Louisville before he went over to Greece and coached. And, you know, he said a few times, like, he hated it. He really didn't like it. He did not like retirement. And as he's, you know, as long as his health is there, I think he's going to be coaching here. Three more years, four more years, two more years, you know, who knows? But he's having a blast. They've got all the money backing they need for NIL and, you know, player acquisitions. We all know that's obviously such a big part of it now. So, yeah, I don't. And that, the other thing is, he's won at Louisville. He's won at Kentucky. Like, going to an Indiana and winning is, it's kind of like he's done that before. Mm-hmm. But to be the guy that really brings St. John's all the way back, I mean, he has an ego, like all great coaches do. What better way to cap a historically great career than, you know, to do it in his home city with a program that has fallen on such hard times over the last 25 years? So, yeah, I don't, you know, I asked him, do you have any interest in Indiana? And he said he would not entertain any other college job but St. John's.
Talking to Zach Braziller from the Post about college hoops, and so St. John's over UConn, sweep the season series, and the atmosphere at the Garden today. From home, I could hear some chants from the St. John's fans with some interesting language aimed at Dan Hurley. And chance against him. From what I know of Danny Hurley, my guess is he does not mind being the villain. What he minds is having his team lose. But being the villain in an atmosphere like that kind of plays right into it. But they're the two-time defending national championship team. You're not going to win every year. You get that, and you're going to have sort of a down year. Your players end up, you know, Castle, whatever. Players get drafted. They end up in the NBA, you know, number one draft picks. You understand all of that, but this is a big drop-off from where they've been. What went wrong? What's going wrong this year for UConn?
No, I just think it's just kind of, it's cyclical. I mean, like you mentioned, they lose Castle, they lose Klingon, they lose Tristan Newton, they lose Cam Spencer. I mean, they lost four really, really high-level players, and they didn't, you know, the transfer portal, they brought in Aiden Mahaney, a really good guard from St. Mary's. It just hasn't worked, and they were expecting him to be a difference maker, and he hasn't been. Solo Ball has taken a step forward as a sophomore. He's been really good. They lose Liam McNeely, their superstar freshman, for a month. I just think it's just kind of the way it works when you're so good, you're gonna lose. You're gonna get hit hard by graduation, by the NBA, and you know, look, I expect UConn to be really good next year. They're bringing in a top five recruiting class. They'll go into the portal and they'll get some good players. I think Solo Ball's gonna be one of the best players in the league next year. Jalen Stewart, I think, is a really good player. He's kind of been up and down for them. But yeah, look, they're still gonna make the tournament. They're probably gonna be in that 8-9 seed range, but there's a reason we haven't seen a three-peat since UCLA in the 1970s. It's so incredibly hard to do. And, you know, they went younger here with some of their young recruits, and it just kind of hasn't worked out for them. But they're not going anywhere. They're going to be really good next year. I'd be shocked if they're not like a top 10 caliber team next year.
Yeah, I just think that basketball in our area, basketball is more fun when you have, if we could have a Rick Pitino coached, top 20, 25 team in St. John's and UConn and Danny Hurley in a top 10 team and the competition and the Big East and all of that, it just makes the whole thing more fun. Looking ahead to the Big East tournament, I just remember the years where, I don't know, when Pitino used to be in the Big East and it was Louisville, but you had, whether it was Boeheim and, just all the legendary coaches who would stalk the sidelines when you would show up for a Big East tournament. And what are you expecting out of the Big East tournament this year?
Look, I think it's going to be really interesting. Creighton's really good. They're going to be in the tournament. They're probably around a 6 seed. I know Marquette has struggled of late, but they're still really good. They have one of the best players in the country in Cam Jones. Xavier's coming on. Villanova's capable. I mean, we all see it. They crushed Marquette the other night. They beat St. John's. They beat UConn. They beat Marquette. Like I mentioned, St. John's is going to go in there as the favorite, no doubt. They've been awesome at the Garden. They're undefeated at home. But there are definitely teams that can pick them off. There's no question about that. It's going to be a fun tournament. I mean, look, you have four pretty good odds to make the tournament teams with St. John's, Marquette, UConn, and Creighton. Xavier's on the bubble. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't rule out a Villanova making a run. Georgetown, if they could get their star big man, Thomas Sorber, healthy, is another team that maybe could do some damage. So I think it's going to be a fun tournament. It's never going to be what it was, unfortunately, but I do think it's going to be a really good tournament.
All right, just want to switch to Rutgers before we finish up. Rutgers was on our they were on our airwaves before I came on, and Rutgers USC, and before the season, if you had told me there was going to be a team that would be a top 10 team from our area, I would have thought with the sensational freshman recruits, there was going to be Rutgers that was having this season as opposed to St. John's. What happened? I think of Steve Peichel as a guy who can coach and coach up players and develop players. What happened with Rutgers? Why did this season kind of end up where, I mean, I think they'll get in with tonight. I think they'll get into the Big Ten tournament, but they were on the bubble of not even being in their conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, you don't win with freshmen. Duke's doing it, but Duke's got, a generational guy in Cooper Flagg, and they have a bunch of other really good players. The problem with Rutgers is they didn't surround these two guys with nearly enough. They lost their center, Cliff Morey, to the portal. He went to Alabama. They just do not have nearly enough inside, and they didn't do a nearly good enough job in the portal. When you miss in the portal and you're depending on these guys to be impact players, it's hard to recover. And, UConn happened to UConn with Mahaney. They thought he would be a real difference maker, and he hasn't been. And Rutgers is the same way. They don't have nearly enough. So when Harper missed a few games with, he was sick, yeah, and then he had injury, and, yeah, they don't have nearly enough. And you really don't win with freshmen. Now, Duke's got about 4 or 5 stars plus some good older players. And so Duke has been able to do that. But for the most part, you don't win with it. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of where Rutgers goes from here, because they're obviously going to lose Harper and Daly to the pros, and they're going to have to do really well in the portal. It's these days, if you can't keep your own players, especially, and you don't do well in the portal, it's going to be really hard to be a good team. And that's the thing. St. John's has done really well. They got Richmond in the portal. They got Davon Smith in the portal. They got Aaron Scott, a really underrated glue guy, tenacious defender, guy who can shoot threes. And then you look at the year before where they got RJ Lewis in the portal and they got Zubi Ejiofor in the portal. And, you know, that's the other thing is when you get, you know, it's kind of the sweet spot is it's not just getting those one-year guys in the portal. You can get guys in the portal for 2 or 3 years and keep them there and develop them. That's really what St. John's has done. That's been such a big part of their success this year, where they brought in some really good players, but they also returned a solid nucleus. And that's really something Rutgers didn't do.
Well, and when you think about, we were talking about UConn a moment ago, and how did they win those back-to-backs? I mean, the second year was certainly bringing back some of those key players from the year before, when you have that continuity.
Well, yeah, and they had Tristan Newton was a two-year guy. They got him out of the portal. Obviously, Cam Spencer was an absolute home run. Hassan Diarra, their point guard now, he was another portal guy they hit on. It's really the name of the game. You look at all the best teams in the country, and they all have really good portal guys. It's hard to compete when you don't hit on those guys, especially when you're depending on them.
Yeah. Zach Braziller from the New York Post does a great job covering college basketball. And Zach, it is, let's see, if I look at the calendar, it says it is officially February 24th. That means we are close to March. March Madness, your time of year. We rely on you. So look forward to hearing from you more. And, you know, if you're not following Zach, you should be in the Post and on social media. Zach, appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori. Have a good one.